Good afternoon. I love that song. 30 years ago, I was just out of high school, and I was leading worship for my youth group, and we would do that song 30 years ago. And just sitting back there thinking, Lord, you're still worthy. Still a great song, just lifting up the name of the Lord. Yeah, amen. We used to have some great encounters with the Lord with that song. Praise God. Well, y'all have a good week? Awesome. Good. Good. Will, Dave Rosenfeld, Ayesha, and family are on their way back officially now. So, Lord willing, we'll see them next Sunday. Last I heard, they were in Ohio somewhere and make it. What's that? Okay, making the trek back. So, keep them in your prayers still. I want us to look at a couple of verses today. Out of the book of Mark chapter 13. And we're going to start with verse 32 and read down through several of these verses. Mark 13, starting at verse 32. And we're going to do it in the King James. It's up here on the screen. But of that day and of that hour knows no man. So Jesus is in the middle of talking to the disciples. And Pastor might actually share today on some of this stuff. I don't know what he's going to share on today, but we'll see. But the disciples came to him and said, look at the temple. It's amazing. And Jesus says, one of these days, there's not one stone going to be left on another on this temple standing. And later on, they're over sitting on the Mount of Olives. And I was in Israel last year, and there's just a big valley separating it. And it says they're looking across the Mount of Olives at the temple, and a couple of the disciples come to Jesus privately and said, okay, that's pretty serious what you just said about the whole temple thing and not one stone being left on another. Tell us more about that. So Jesus gives a big, long discourse, and this is how he ends it. We're going to look at about four, five, six verses about how he ends that story. So he says, of that day that I'm talking about the return of the Lord, of that hour no one knows, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Next verse. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Next verse. For the Son of Man is as a man. He says, okay, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to tell you what this day of the Lord's return is like. The Son of Man is like a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Who's his servants? You've got more authority than you realize. He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch. Next verse. Watch you, therefore. Okay, now he's back into current time, speaking to the disciples. I gave you an illustration. It's like a guy that leaves, sets everybody up, gets everybody ready, but tells them, watch for my return. Then Jesus says, watch you therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house comes, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Next verse. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. It's an interesting phrase. There's only a few times in Scripture where Jesus makes reference to the fact that someday this is not just going to be you disciples that I'm talking to. Another time when he's praying, he says, not only for these, but also for those that are going to come to know me in the future. Jesus recognized, knew that the Word of God would go out throughout history. And so he says, I'm speaking to you disciples, I'm talking to you guys, but it's not just for you. So just so that anybody in the future might think, yeah, that doesn't apply to us, I'm making it very clear, this applies to everybody. What I say to you, I say unto all, watch. Three times in this passage, Jesus uses the term watch. And so, I'm sure because of that, you guys all spent a good deal of time out on the lawn chairs this last week, looking at the heavens. Well, I mean, we're busy. We at least ran to the window every chance we got, right, and looked up. What does he mean by watch? If it was important enough for him to say it three times, and he says, I'm making a point of telling you it's not just for the disciples, everybody that's going to hear this throughout history, This is for you too. Watch. Okay, so if that's the command, how do we do it? Say that again. Be prepared. Somebody else. Thoughts or ideas. How do we watch? Pray. Read His Word. Okay? Give strict attention to. I like that, D. It's good. I want us to look at a scripture in the book of Psalms. Psalms 130. To me, this sums up the heart behind that word. This is the Old Testament. This is David way back when. He says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His Word do I hope. So that already touches on some of what some of you guys said about being in the Word, being diligent. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His Word do I hope. Verse 6. Next verse. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. How many of you guys have ever worked a night shift job? This scripture so ministered to me pretty close to 30 years ago. I was working at a group home, and I was working at the night shift job. And come about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I so wished it was morning. No matter what you did, you know, you're trying to stay busy, you're cleaning the house, you know, you're supposed to, you know, peek in on the kids every so often without waking the door, so ever so quietly, you know, gently looking in a boy's home. But boy, I wanted the morning to come, because you can only do so much. You're tired, you're watching for the morning. In their day, they literally had people that were watchmen that would stay up all night, that would watch to see if enemies would come. And they had that same feeling of, boy, I wish it were morning. It's awfully quiet out here. I'm tired. I just want to go home and go to sleep. David said, I want the Lord more than watchmen want the morning to come. I want to meet with the Lord more than watchmen want to see the morning. To me, the heart of that sums up that verse, watch and pray. He says, have a heart that says, Lord, I want you to come back. Lord, I love to see you. Anytime, Lord, would be great. Sometimes pastor starts sharing about calamities, and pastor says, and the great news is, and you're thinking, great news? What are you talking about? Is that Jesus is going to come back. And that is great news. Because when you're in love with the Lord, watching involves, Lord, I can't wait for you to come back. My heart says, Lord, I'd love to have you come back. We're going to look at one more verse, guys, the verse in Revelation. I don't read out of the book of Revelation myself too often, but there's a verse to me that sums up the spirit of Revelation. And actually, you know what? Revelation 22, and we're going to start at verse 17. So will you backspace for me, Skylar? This is the way that the Apostle John, the one that we think was probably the closest to Jesus, that Peter, James, and John got taken everywhere with him. You know, John's the one that was always leaning up against Jesus or talking to him, very close to him, wrote 4 books of the New Testament. This is the way that he ends this book of seeing crazy, amazing things in the Spirit, the end of the world as we know it. This is the way that he ends it by saying, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. He's talking about Jesus coming back. He says, the Holy Spirit says, Jesus, yeah, I want you to come back. And the bride, that's us, says, come. We want you to come, Lord, and let him that hears say, come. Are you guys hearing this? Then in our hearts we have to say, come, Lord, come. Let him that's athirst, anyone that's thirsty, come. Whoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Now let's go ahead and go down to verse 20. This is the second to the last verse in the entire Bible. The last verse is kind of just a wrap-up that says, grace of our Lord be with you. He says in verse 20, he which testifies these things, talking about Jesus, says, surely I come quickly. It's in red in most of your Bibles. Jesus talking. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Now John's talking. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. To me, that sums up the entire book of Revelation. He says, I see all these amazing, crazy things are going to happen. Jesus gets raised to amazing power and glory. And he ends by saying, and my heart says, Lord, come quickly. You know, you didn't tell us the timing of all of these things, but the timing is less important than the heart that says, Lord, I love you so much. Today, right now, wouldn't be too soon. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you'd stir that in us. Lord, that heart that says, okay, Lord, we might not know the times. We might not understand. We might not agree. But Lord, our heart says we want you more than we want anything. Today, Lord, we want you more than we want anything. Lord, as we open your word, we want you more than we want anything. Lord, as we pray for our neighbors, as we lay hands on the sick, we want you more than we want anything. And so, Lord, we say, even as John said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, today in our service, Lord, every day as we spend time with you, and Lord, come back to the earth. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.